From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of, you.
This is information the world needs to know.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
For the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico. This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 27th of January, 2020. Oh, boy. Welcome, I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm co-executive producer and co-host TK Weeks.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2020 by Mark Skogman. Now, except for our listener greetings, we believe that these people are listening to this very program, and we thank you for it, and we love it. Stay with us. Listeners tonight are Edward Marriott, Joanne McCarthy, Rose Jameson, Vicki Palmer, Patty Norkowitz, Laura Betts, Kyle Than Ho, Rita Fox, and Shonda Wakefield. Thank you all. Keep listening. We will try to give you an interesting, informing, and entertaining program on Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 27th of January, 2020. Focus of this program is politics, a trial, and a remembrance. I will explain. Segment one, live in studio and recorded, the news summary from the last week since the last Spectrum 360 radio program. And as regular listeners to this program know, we do it in three sections now. Section one, this week in history. Section two, climate and environment news. Section three, the general news summary. And segment two, live in studio, the future events calendar hosted by program co-host TK Weeks. An updated list of coming events, future events coming up quickly. Listen so you'll know where to go and put them on your schedule. And we may be there covering the event with you. We do a lot of that. This is a Spectrum 360 exclusive. And then segment three, recorded the weekly Jim Hightower commentary for this week's Spectrum 360 on the issue of inequality. It's getting worse. We got some good statistics on that this week. Amazing what is happening, and it's not good. Jim Hightower will address that in that segment.
Why not do away with the need for rich people's philanthropy? Hear about real charity today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
And segment four, live in studio, the Spectrum 360 report and commentary on the recent Supreme Court ruling on immigration by co-host TK Weeks. TK Weeks has a law degree from one of the best law schools in this country, and so she's an excellent legal commentator, and she will be leading us through that. I'm looking forward to myself. I have not heard this commentary myself, so this will be the first time I'll be hearing it along with our listeners. This is going to be interesting. I know. It's going to be interesting. A Spectrum 360 exclusive. And then segment five, live in studio, the Spectrum 360 report and commentary on the United States Senate Trump impeachment trial. Have you been watching? I have. Way too much. I watch just about every single hour. of the impeachment trial for all the days that it's been broadcast, except for the 2 hours this last Saturday. I missed that, but I'll catch up with that eventually, too. Yeah. So I'll have watched the entire thing. Remember back in the, what was the 80s, that television commercial for, I think it was Wendy's or some restaurant where they said, I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
That was Alka-Seltzer, actually.
That's what it was. I thought it was a Wendy's commercial. Well,
I can
truly say, I can't believe I watched the whole thing. Anyway, enough of that. In our next week, Spectrum 360, we'll be covering local, state, and national events again. Some of that's to be determined. Listen to the radio program Spectrum 360 on these Tampa Bay radio stations on WTAN. On the AM side, it's AM 1340. On the FM side, 106.1. On WDCF, on the AM side, it's AM 1350. On WZHR, on the AM side, it's AM 1400. And on the FM side, FM 104.3. Listen to the Spectrum 360 webcast MP3 file anytime. Go to www.spectrum360media.com. Simply scroll down to the program date of your choice. Click on the control bar to play the program. You know the drill. Remember, like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, Spectrum 360 Media, Spectrum 360 Video. Are you asleep yet? Or on Twitter by searching for at Spectrum_360. So we're active in social media. So you be active too. Interact. Say hi to us. And go to the website to listen to the radio program. We're going to break one and return with segment one, the news summary. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. It's going to be the usual fun on a Monday night. Yes. Very cool. Thank you for staying with us so much. I think I'll play a little bit of music. How about that?
Yes, yes, yes. It's time. We all come together. Ha ha.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to hightowerlowdown.org.
The question isn't whether he should be impeached anymore. He's the most corrupt president in American history, and we all know it. The question now is, how fast can we move past this president so we can build a more just and prosperous future? Please, join the more than 6.5 million Americans who are demanding action now, because there's nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the American people. Together, we will make this happen.
Need to impeach is responsible for the content of this ad.
Spectrum 360.
And we're back. This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 27th of January, 2020. This is segment one, the news summary. Information provided by Democracy Now! Is included in the production of the Spectrum 360 news summary. Listen to the radio program or television program, Democracy Now!, or go to donate at www.democracynow.org. And great organization, and they do help us with information in the headlines that we have on this program. So that's why we say that. Let's go to section one, This Week in History. And of course, I have to play a little music to set this segment up. It's obligatory. That means I've got to do it. And ironically enough, after playing that music, we start with old news because it's This Week in History, right? I'm just all messed up. I don't know what I'm doing. No, I'm kidding. Okay, well, today is January 27th. That's this week on Monday. It's today's date. And in January 27th in 1942, during World War II, the 8th Air Force sortied 91 B-17s and B-24 bombers. Those were the large 4-engine heavy bombers to attack the U-boat construction yards at Wilhelmshaven, Germany. This is the first American bombing attack on Germany during 1943, during World War II. That's when the 8th Air Force went to work on the Axis countries and demolished them. It started on this day. It was a terrible war, but we won it with the 8th Air Force. And in 1951, nuclear testing started at the Nevada test site, and it began with Operation Ranger at the Nevada test site, where they, my understanding is they've exploded approximately 900 nuclear bombs at the Nevada test site. And now some of them have been done underground near the border with the aquifer, and it's now contaminating the groundwater underneath the Nevada test site.
Wonderful.
With nuclear radiation from 900 nuclear bombs. What could be better, right?
Oh, boy.
And in 1967, the Apollo program, astronauts Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee were killed in a fire during the test of their Apollo 1 spacecraft at the Kennedy Space Center here in the state of Florida, where we are. That's across the state on the East Coast. We're on the West Coast. In 1967, that was Grissom, White, and Chaffee. They died very quickly in a fire in a high oxygen environment in their Apollo 1 spacecraft, the space module. And in 2010, it was the death of Howard Zinn, American historian, author, and activist, and author of the People's History of the United States. That is a great, great book. I recommend reading it. It's that good. He's born in 1922. And also January 27th in 2014 was Pete Seeger's death. American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and activist, and banjo player, and a member of the Weavers in the 1950s. And they were persecuted for being communists and who knows what else, trade unionists and all this stuff. They were just folk singers that were patriots that cared about the country. He was born in 1919. And, of course, today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it's also on January 27th this year, the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp, the Auschwitz death camp. There were 1,100,000 people killed by the Nazi German regime in Auschwitz in just that one camp. Over 1 million people died there. And this is the 75th anniversary of its liberation. And also, this week contains January 30th. That's going to be, I think that's Thursday. And in 1933, it was the birth of Louis Rukeyser. He was the host of Wall Street Week on PBS for many years. I watched that man on that program for 10 years. And he was on that program as the host for many more years than I watched it. And he was born on this date in 1933. Great guy. And now deceased. And the program is no longer in the air either. Not even the Nightly Business Report, which just ended recently. Been trying to get a segment produced about that or mention. Anyway, that concludes this week in history. And let's have some fun by going to something else that's maybe a little bit more positive. We're going to try. Weeks, take it away.
All right, this is our climate and environmental news. Monday, January 20th, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rejected a landmark youth climate lawsuit against the United States government, arguing that the case does not belong in the courts. Julianne versus the United States accuses the U.S. government of perpetuating the climate crisis and endangering the lives of citizens. Judge Josephine Staten, the dissenting voice on the three-judge panel, wrote, "The government accepts as fact that the United States has reached a tipping point, crying out for a concerted response, yet presses ahead toward calamity. It is as if an asteroid were barreling toward the earth, and the government decided to shut down her only defenses.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Lawyer for the plaintiffs has vowed to appeal the ruling. In more environmental news, the United Nations has ruled that climate refugees cannot be forced to return to their home countries. This landmark decision could grant significant new legal power to millions of people around the world. Experts say tens of millions of people are expected to become climate refugees within the decade. It'll be interesting to see how this decision interacts with the court decision I'm going to be talking about later. Give it some thought.
Yes, that will be interesting. And from Tuesday, the 21st of January, Tuesday of last week, President Trump is in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum, where he delivered a speech earlier that day to the gathered elites. The climate crisis is the top priority for this year's forum, but Trump focused on touting his tax cuts, immigration policies, trade deals with China, Canada, and who knows what else, actually Mexico. And he also claimed that U.S. air and water were cleaner than ever. This is why world leaders laugh at Trump when he's at these events. Trump has worked to dismantle environmental regulation since taking office and has denied climate change. Trump also told reporters in Davos the impeachment trial was a hoax and a witch hunt, quote unquote. Meanwhile, a new Oxfam report released ahead of the World Economic Forum warns that economic inequality is out of control, with the world's richest 1% owning twice as much wealth as nearly 7 billion people. The report also finds that just over 2,000 billionaires have more combined wealth than 4.6 billion people. The website Quartz calculates that Trump's two-day appearance in Davos will cost U.S. taxpayers over $5.6 million.
I want my money back.
Oh, my gosh. 17-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg is also in Davos, where she spoke at a climate youth panel earlier today. And this is, of course, we're speaking about Tuesday of last week, 21st of January.
If we are to have a 67% chance of limiting the global average temperature rise to below 1.5 degrees Celsius, we had on January 1st, 2018, about 420 gigatons of CO2 left to emit in that budget. Since last summer, I've been repeating these numbers over and over again in almost every speech. But honestly, I don't think I have once seen any media outlets or person in power communicated this and what it means. I know you don't want to report about this. I know you don't want to talk about this. But I assure you, I will continue to repeat these numbers until you do.
Well, Greta Thunberg, I'd like to answer you as the host of the Spectrum 360 radio program. And I also speak for my co-host, TK Weeks. We do want to talk about this. And we are going to talk about it. We follow you. We report on you. We do our own reporting. And we are also climate reality leaders. And we'll have more about that in later in the program. So there, take that. But they said, hey, how could it come to this? We're really worried about living. How could it come to this? Yeah, we really want to know about this. Is it like today? Well, indeed, is it like today? We'd like to know ourselves. A scary time to be alive.
Yeah, it is.
Climate change is changing our world in more ways than you may think. Because it's not just climate that's changing. People are changing the way they live their lives and the way they see the world. And these changes are the beginning of something huge. It's good. Because we need to act now before the next big storm hits to strengthen and restore the natural defense system that protects us all from high water and winds. The climate is changing. But so are we. Learn what you can do.
And now it's time for Section 3 of the News Summary, General News. And from Monday of last week, Monday the 20th of January, I just wanted to remember that that was Martin Luther King Day, and that was a wonderful parade in downtown St. Petersburg, as there is on every Martin Luther King Day. So that was a wonderful day. And then from Wednesday, the 23rd of January, it was announced by Judy Woodruff and then repeated on MSNBC, the death of Jim Lehrer, a longtime journalist, author, and former host of the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, which then turned into the NewsHour and then the PBS NewsHour. And Jim Lehrer was 85 years old. He was also a novelist, wrote several plays, a very prolific writer, excellent journalist, and he was also a former U.S. Marine Corps officer. I didn't know that till he died.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either until I was doing research about Jim for posting on social media and for this segment on the radio program. Former Marine Corps officer. What an all-around great guy. Now gone.
Last Friday, January 24th, in Texas, an early morning explosion at an industrial plant killed two people and damaged over 200 homes northwest of Houston. And authorities are investigating the cause of the blast at the Watson Grinding and Manufacturing Plant. Two employees of the company were killed in the explosion, which was so powerful that it shattered windows in homes up to half a mile away.
And our friend of the program, Arun Gupta, marked himself safe from that.
Glad to hear that.
On Facebook. That's what I saw. I said, that's interesting. And what happened in Turkey?
Well, in Turkey, there was a 6.8 magnitude earthquake. It's killed at least 38 people and injured at least 1,600 others. And the powerful quake hit, what is it with the earthquakes? Hit the eastern province. And the ocean meltwater, changing the tectonic plates, shifting around. Yeah. Hit the eastern province of Elazig Friday, trapped scores of people, and collapsed at least 76 buildings. Over 40 people have been rescued from the rubble, including a two-year-old girl. Tremors could be felt as far as Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. And then from Saturday, the 25th of January, it was the meeting of the Climate Reality Leadership Corps Pinellas County Chapter. We've been meeting for a few months now, but this is the first meeting of the new year, getting organizing started for 2020. The chapter started last year, late in the year. And you can now find us on Facebook. We have a new Facebook website, Climate Rally Leadership Corps, Florida, Pinellas County Chapter. So you can find us there. Notification, full disclosure, myself and TK Weeks were both members of the Climate Rally Leadership Corps. We're trained climate reality leaders, and we're a member of this chapter. This is our home county chapter of the Climate Reality Leadership Corps. We had a wonderful meeting. We're organizing for the year, and look for more great things from the Climate Reality Leadership Corps.
And we are working on a big event for this spring, so watch the space.
Exactly.
Yesterday, that was Sunday, January 26th, basketball superstar Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles at the age of 41.
Bad.
The crash killed all nine people on board, including Bryant's 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, known as Gigi, and beloved college basketball coach John Altobelli, his wife, Carrie, and their 13-year-old daughter, Alyssa. Officials say the cause of the crash is being investigated, but could take months to determine. Bryant won five NBA championships, two Olympic gold medals, and was crowned an All-Star 18 times.
Wow.
Yeah. He played for the LA Lakers for 20 years before retiring in 2016. He was also known for being an ardent supporter of women's basketball. Gianna Bryant, she's the one that got him back into basketball after his retirement, and she reportedly hoped to one day play for the University of Connecticut women's basketball team.
I like women's basketball more than I like men's basketball.
I like basketball. Tributes continue to pour in on social media from fans, athletes, and other public figures. At the Grammys, musicians Alicia Keys, Lizzo, Run DMC, and others remembered Bryant and thousands gathered outside the Staples Center overnight to mourn his passage. But some are calling on the media and supporters to not forget a sexual assault allegation from early in his career. In 2003, a 19-year-old woman who worked at a hotel where Bryant was staying accused him of rape. Bryant denied the charge, saying they had a consensual sexual affair. The case was dropped after the woman decided not to testify, and a civil suit was settled out of court. Many have called out his accuser's treatment by the media and Bryant's defense team. The sexual assault allegation resurfaced in 2018 when his film Dear Basketball won an Oscar for Best Animated Short at the 2018 Academy Awards. Complicated legacy for Kobe Bryant.
Yes, sorry to see that he died, and all those two 13-year-old girls, too. That was terrible.
That's very sad.
I've never seen that, Dear Basketball. And we did a short film. I'd like to see that. I know it got an Academy Award. And then from yesterday, also Sunday, the 26th of January, it was the Recording Academy Grammy Awards. Wow. At the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. It was the 62nd Annual Grammy Awards. It was hosted by Alicia Keys, the musician. And she also did a memorial to deceased basketball star Kobe Bryant, who died in that air accident yesterday. And there were multiple tributes. One of the tributes was done by Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani, who I believe are now married.
You didn't know that till I told you.
No, I didn't, actually. And these are the main results of the awards. Record of the Year was Bad Guy. That's by it. Billie Eilish. Album of the Year was When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, which contains that song. Song of the Year was Bad Guy. And Best New Artist was Billie Eilish. So she won four
Grammys.
Four Grammys. And sometimes I just don't know what to say when things like that happen.
It's quite a night for an 18-year-old newcomer, though.
Yeah, she's 18 years old.
Homeschooled.
She recorded this album in her bedroom. So she's in her bedroom. She's recording music.
With her brother.
With her brother, who produced the album. And I encourage people to do that. And with the recording equipment that you can get now, it's actually easier than ever to do that. So she records this album in her bedroom, and she wins four Grammys. Now, you know, it's kind of strange to say it was recorded in a bedroom, but they got great results, that's for sure. So regardless of where it's recorded, you listen to the music itself. I don't think that the music myself, my own personal taste, it rated four Grammys or even close to that. But that is what it got, so that is that. And later on in the Grammys, Aerosmith and Run-DMC performed their version of Walk This Way. And I looked up the year that that was produced and recorded. I was trying to remember exactly what it was. I knew about from what it was. And the exact year was 1986. It's hard to believe that song is that old.
Wow.
Yeah, 86? Really? Huh. And then Bonnie Raitt gave an achievement award, a lifetime achievement award, to her hero, John Prine, who I hear lives in Gulfport, Florida, just a few miles from here.
He
didn't
does.
Know that recently.
He wrote the song that Bonnie made famous, Angel from Montgomery, which is one of my all-time favorite songs, especially when she sings it.
Lies from Montgomery.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's a great song. Even if it's about an old rodeo. And then Gary Clark blazed away in guitar, and I don't know what the name of the song was that he sang, but it was great and was heavily censored. I know it was very political. I believe it was a Trump protest, but I'm not sure about that, so don't quote me on that. But that was an interesting end to the Grammys. Of course, there was a tribute to Prince as well.
That was awesome.
I heard it, but I didn't see it. So that was interesting. And now we're back on to some more news. Remember, today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's also the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. This was started in 2005 by the United Nations. They declared this day Holocaust Remembrance Day.
And so, please do remember, apparently a majority of Americans, or a large percentage of Americans, do not know or believe that 6 million Jews were killed in Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. And that's really shocking.
And not only that, but 6 million other people, too.
Yes.
Political opponents, people.
Gypsies, LGBTQ people.
Yes, members of other political parties, Romani or Gypsies, homosexuals, Jehovah's Witnesses, other Christians that objected to the Nazi regime. Sophie Scholl was another one that was killed in Nazi Germany. We'll have her in the This Week in History in February. That's the kind of things that happened there. We need to remember this. This is very important to me personally, and it's very important to the history of this country and the world that everybody remembers this. As the historic impeachment trial of Donald Trump continues this week, explosive new revelations about Trump's decision to freeze aid to Ukraine emerged Sunday. That was just yesterday. New York Times reports Former National Security Advisor John Bolton writes in his forthcoming book that Trump personally told him in August that he wanted to continue withholding nearly $400 million in security aid until Trump turned over materials related to former President Joe Biden and supporters of Hillary Clinton in Ukraine. Reports are based on a leaked transcript of John Bolton's book. Trump took to Twitter shortly after midnight Monday to deny the claims, writing, "I never told John Bolton that the aid to Ukraine was tied to investigations into the Democrats, including the Bidens. In fact, he never complained about this at the time of his very public termination. If John Bolton said this, it was only to sell a book." Well, we'll see. I hope that the Senate will call them as a witness. We're going to find out this week. This comes as Trump defense team is resuming their opening arguments today after using just 2 hours of their allotted 24 hours on Saturday. White House counsel Pat Cipollone actually argues that Trump's July telephone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky did not explicitly tie aid to the investigations, accused Democrats of trying to overturn the results of the election. Not true. This is Trump's longtime personal lawyer Jay Sekulow speaking on the Senate floor Saturday, and he also spoke today. This brief segment of audio is from Saturday.
"We really intend to show over the next several days that the evidence is actually really overwhelming that the president did nothing wrong. This case is really not about presidential wrongdoing. This entire impeachment process is about the House manager's insistence that they are able to read everybody's thoughts. They can read everybody's intention, even when the principal speakers, the witnesses themselves, insist that those interpretations are wrong."
What?
That's what he said. Senators are preparing to vote this week on whether new evidence and witnesses can be introduced in Trump's impeachment trial. Four Republicans need to side with Democrats and vote in favor of the move.
Well, the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread, with the death toll now rising to at least 81 people in China. Nearly 60 million people are now on partial or full lockdown. Entire cities have been essentially quarantined, with residents unable to travel outside of a government-designated area. The mayor and top government officials of the city of Wuhan, which is at the center of the outbreak, have offered to resign in the face of criticism that the early response to the outbreak was too slow. Wuhan is now attempting to build a 1,000-bed hospital in just 10 days to treat the infected patients. Hong Kong has shut down schools for several weeks. Nearly 3,000 cases of the disease have been identified around the world. The numbers expected to rise.
Whoa.
5 cases have been confirmed in the United States. Now, Tom Cotton, Representative Tom Cotton, was on the Sunday morning shows, and I don't generally agree with Tom Cotton when he says things, but I actually did agree with this. He says he suspects that the numbers in China are actually much larger because he does not trust the Chinese government to report accurate data to the rest of the world. And I got to say, I probably agree with him.
Yes. And the Pentagon said Friday that 34 American military members sustained traumatic brain injuries from Iranian airstrikes on the Al-Asad air base in Iraq earlier this month. President Trump has previously said no American troops were injured in the attack, which came in response to the targeted U.S. killing of top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Trump dismissed concerns about the troops' well-being last week, saying he thought their injuries were headaches and were not very serious. Oh, my gosh. Paul Rykoff, the founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, called out the misinformation about the troops' injuries, tweeting, "This is a big deal. The American people must be able to trust the government to share information about our sons and daughters in harm's way. Nothing is more serious and sacred." And I agree with him on that. I'm familiar with Paul Rykoff, and he's a great guy. And I have to say that is good. We also did an impeachment poll, whether people want to include witnesses and documents in the Trump impeachment trial this week on Facebook. And the poll was 44 yes and 5 no, and the no's were actually not against impeachment. They were just thought it was a waste of time and we should move on. They weren't actually against him being impeached. So that concludes the news summary for this week's Spectrum 360. Shut up, fool. How dare you say that to me?
Spectrum 360 with Mark Scopeman.
When the history of the Trump presidency is written, members of Congress will be sorted into two categories. The ones who let politics scare them out of holding Trump accountable, and those who had the courage to stand up and defend our democracy. Republicans in Congress should support impeachment hearings to uncover the truth. But first, they have a choice to make. Which side of history do they want to be on? Need to Impeach is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Our climate is changing. Making a few changes around your home and yard can cut carbon emissions and even save you money. Swap out 5 of your most used light bulbs with CFLs or LEDs. Change air filters regularly, lower your thermostat in the winter, and raise it in the summer. Recycle newspapers, beverage bottles, and food containers. Reduce your carbon impact to the environment. Act now on climate change.
Now it's time for segment 2, the future events calendar with the co-host TK Weeks, and I'll get her in the mood and she'll do a great job. Here it comes. Oh yeah.
Okay, tomorrow, that's Tuesday, January 28th, from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at 9393 North Florida Avenue in Tampa. Join hardworking state workers as they stand up and demand a raise. State workers came to an impasse in November after Governor DeSantis announced his 2020 Florida state budget that once again contains no raise or cost of living increase for dedicated state employees. After 12 years with only 2 increases and 1 pay cut, state workers have had enough. Many state employees are forced to work multiple jobs or receive public assistance to make ends meet. Enough is enough. And I used to be a state employee. I can tell you, you would not believe how low the salaries are for these hardworking people.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Show some solidarity with them. 9393 North Florida Avenue.
Yes.
Also, tomorrow, January 28th, from 4:30 to 9 p.m. at the Wave Center at Moat Marine Lab, 1600 Ken Thompson Parkway in Sarasota, concerned citizens will demonstrate in opposition to a proposed fish farm 40 miles off the coast of Sarasota. This mobilization is in advance of an EPA public hearing on a permit to dump untreated waste from the first ever floating industrial fish factory in the Gulf of Mexico. They're going to have solemn signs for people to hold up during the hearing, so you're not necessarily having to make public comment to be heard. Demonstration organizers include the Center for Biological Diversity, Friends of the Earth, Healthy Gulf, Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance, Sierra Club, Suncoast Waterkeeper, and others. Now, guys, this is a big deal. These fish farms are essentially floating feedlots. They can devastate our ocean ecosystem, public health, and the local economy. We already have serious concerns about pollution in the Gulf of Mexico, and offshore aquaculture would make it worse by allowing a wide range of toxins into the ocean, and right now we are really concerned about that with the widespread coral die-offs and red tide blooms here in Florida. So let the EPA know we don't want any of this.
Sounds fishy to me.
It's very fishy. Also tomorrow, January 28th, from 7 to 8 p.m. at Pinellas Democratic Party Headquarters, 2250 First Avenue North in St. Pete, the Pinellas Democratic Progressive Caucus is meeting.
Yes.
And Wednesday, January 29th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Center for Health Equity, 2333 34th Street South in St. Pete, the City of St. Pete is holding another workshop on St. Pete 2050, its visioning process for the future. The event's going to provide residents with opportunities to discuss the results of citywide survey, review trends and alternatives, and explore additional ideas on how to shape the future of St. Pete. Representatives are going to be on hand to answer questions and receive feedback. They say you are an important part of this process, and all feedback and suggestions are welcome, so go give them some. Also Wednesday, January 29th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the intersection of Tyrone Boulevard and 66th Street, right in front of the Macaroni Grill, there's going to be a demonstration in solidarity with the Swarm the Capitol Day of Action in Washington, D.C. to demand that the senators stop covering up for Trump and vote to have witnesses or documents. Folks are going to have some signs available for you, but they also encourage you to make your own sign focusing on no cover-up. Justice requires witnesses. I'll call Senator Scott and Rubio. Shout out to Joanne McCarthy and Rita Fox for organizing that. Thursday, January 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Seminole Heights Branch Library, 4711 Central Avenue in Tampa. The Tampa Bay chapter of the Democratic Progressive Caucus is meeting, and they're going to be reviewing the possibilities under Medicare for All. Whether you currently have good insurance, bad insurance, or no insurance, you're sure to learn more about how all Americans can be covered with Medicare for All. Learn what's covered, what's not, how it's paid for, and other important talking points on the hottest topic of the 2020 Democratic primaries. Also Thursday, January 30th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Charles J. Fendig Library, 3909 Neptune Street in Tampa.
That's a cool address.
That is a cool address. Join the Fight for 15 for their Unions for All Assembly. You know, the Fight for 15 has changed wage standards for every worker in America with this Fight for $15 an hour minimum wage. They're looking to do it again.
Cool.
Their new demand is simple. Unions for all. Unions are responsible for creating the conditions that allow workers to have some semblance of justice and control over their workplace, but we've still got a long way to go. So come learn about what they mean when they say unions for all and how you can help this powerful push this powerful new message. Saturday, February 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Boyd Hill Nature Preserve, 1101 Country Club Way in St. Pete. It's Raptor Fest, a fiercely fun day celebrating birds of prey. It features trained raptors in free flight, presentations featuring Florida's native falcon species.
Can we send them to Washington?
The raptors? What?
Yeah, just wondering.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, maybe send them some owl pellets, or else you can dissect owl pellets at Raptor Fest with Sensing Nature, a great environmental education group. There'll be photo ops with live birds of prey. There'll be environmental exhibitors, activities for children and families, bird walks, so much more, and food and drink available. This is Boyd Hill's biggest fundraiser of the year. It's a blast, and Boyd Hill is a real gem in the city, so check it out. Also, Friday, February 1st from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Robert Saunders Library, 1505 North Nebraska Avenue in Tampa, the Tampa Bay Medicare for All Coalition is having their monthly meeting. They're going to be brainstorming and updating on ways and means to influence local leaders to endorse and support Medicare for All. And that's what's going on.
TK Weeks, thank you for another Future Events calendar. Sorry for all the kibitzing. I just had questions. I did, really.
Yeah, questions.
Yeah.
Swarms.
Here's Jim Itar for this week's Spectrum 360, Segment 3. Listen.
Our society has coined expressions like philanthropist to encourage and hail people's charitable spirit. Look on the flip side of that shiny coin of generosity, however, and you'll find that its base substance is societal selfishness. After all, the need for charity only exists because we're tolerating intentional injustices and widespread inequality created by power elites. A society as supremely wealthy as ours ought not be relegating needy families and essential components of the common good to the whims of a few rich philanthropists. Yes, corporate and individual donations can help at the margins, but they don't fix anything. Thus, food banks, health clinics, etc. must constantly scrounge for more charity, while big donors have their charitable spirit subsidized with tax breaks that siphon money from our public treasury. Especially offensive to me is the common grandiose assertion by fat cat donors that charity is their way of, quote, giving back to society. Hello? If they can give so much, it's probably because they've been taking too much. As business columnist Andrew Ross Sorkin points out, all too often, charitable gifts are used to make up for the failure of companies to pay people a living wage and treat their workers with dignity. It's not just the unemployed who rely on food banks, but janitors, nannies, Uber drivers, checkout clerks, and others who work full time but are so poorly paid they can't make ends meet. That's not a sad charity case, but a matter of criminal exploitation by wealthy elites. And the charitable thing to do is to outlaw it and require a living wage for all. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Sorkin puts it, the aim should be to create a society where we don't need places like food banks. We should be trying to put the food banks out of business.
If you'd like more of Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Our climate is changing. Making a few changes around your home and yard can cut carbon emissions and even save you money. Swap out 5 of your most used light bulbs with CFLs or LEDs. Change air filters regularly, lower your thermostat in the winter, and raise it in the summer. Recycle newspapers, beverage bottles, and food containers. Reduce your carbon impact to the environment. Act now on climate change.
question isn't whether he should be impeached anymore. He's the most corrupt president in American history, and we all know it. The question now is, how fast can we move past this president so we can build a more just and prosperous future? Please join the more than 6.5 million Americans who are demanding action now, because there's nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the American people. Together, we will make this happen.
Need to impeach is responsible for the content of this ad.
This is Mark Skogman, host of Spectrum 360 on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a political talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via podcast at tantalk1340.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, politics from a progressive point of view.
When the history of the Trump presidency is written, members of Congress will be sorted into two categories. The ones who let politics scare them out of holding Trump accountable, and those who had the courage to stand up and defend our democracy. Republicans in Congress should support impeachment hearings to uncover the truth. But first, they have a choice to make. Which side of history do they want to be on? Need to Impeach is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Spectrum 360.
In segment four, and this is the Spectrum 360 report and commentary on the recent Supreme Court decision, hosted by co-host TK Weeks.
Well, it's the time of year when Supreme Court opinions start to trickle in, and one certainly trickled today.
Yes.
You might remember that back in August, the Trump administration announced that it was going to revise the so-called public charge rule, which allows officials to deny permanent legal status, also known as a green card, to immigrants who are likely to need public assistance. Now, in the past, only substantial and sustained monetary help or long-term institutionalization counted, so fewer than 1% of applicants were actually disqualified on public charge grounds. But the Trump administration's new rule changes all that. It dramatically broadens the categories of suspect assistance to include non-monetary assistance, such as food stamps, housing vouchers, and Medicaid. An immigrant who uses cash or non-cash benefits in any 12 months of a 36-month period will be deemed a public charge. Using two kinds of benefits in 1 month counts as 2 months of use. So an immigrant who relies upon Medicaid and food stamps for half a year will automatically be deemed a public charge. Because these new guidelines are such a radical change from previous law, three different courts blocked this new rule. They issued injunctions preventing enforcement of the rule until the question of its legality was fully litigated. Well, today the Supreme Court lifted those injunctions, allowing the rule to take effect in every state except Illinois, where a different court is still keeping the rule from being enforced. So now in most places, the Trump administration can begin enforcing this new rule. It was, of course, a 5-4 majority, with all four of the liberal justices dissenting. And the majority did not even hint at its reasoning for lifting this injunction. This ruling is going to devastate immigrant communities in the U.S. who rely heavily upon even modest benefits to survive. Many immigrants hold temporary visas and wish to become lawful permanent residents in the future. So now they're going to have to unenroll from Medicaid, give up food stamps, and lose their homes to maintain their ability to get green cards. Attorneys estimate that hundreds of thousands of people will be affected, including children. In addition, immigrants who are denied a green card would have to leave the country or risk deportation. Think about that UN climate refugee decision earlier. How's that going to play into that?
Yes.
Anyway, they're now actually going to have to, and also it's going to exclude a large number of immigrants seeking entry from abroad. They're going to have to prove at entry that they can be totally self-sufficient. They're going to have to continue to prove that during their stay. This is all part of Trump's effort to end legal immigration for all but the very rich. No more give me your tired, you're poor. We don't want them anymore. As many have said, when it comes to the Trump administration, cruelty is the point. Our conservative justices are very fond of saying that they do not endorse federal agencies' efforts to rewrite or expand laws beyond congressional intent. They're constantly railing against the flight of power from the legislative to the executive branch. Well, did Congress intend to place such a burden on immigrants when it drafted this public charge rule? I don't think so, especially since as recently as 2013, the Senate refused to implement a version of this new rule. And yet here the court is allowing the Justice Department to leap over the Court of Appeals, which has not even yet ruled on the ultimate legality of the new rule. It's jumping in there, dismissing the injunction, and allowing the new rule to go into effect. Justice Gorsuch even attached an acerbic concurrence to the order, joined by his lackey Justice Thomas, scolding lower courts for blocking Trump's policies nationwide. So much for judicial restraint and deference to the legislative branch. And all of this on Holocaust Remembrance Day. I remember boatloads of Jewish refugees who were turned away from the United States as they were trying to escape the Nazis. The irony is too rich. Anyway, this is the court we have now, thanks to Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And I fear we're going to have to live with the consequences for a long, long time.
TK Weeks, thank you for an excellent commentary.
Arrest the president. You got the evidence. That nigga is Russian intelligence. When it rains, it pours. Did you know the new white was orange? Arrest the president. Arrest the president. Arrest the president. You got the evidence. Arrest the president. Arrest the president. Crazy. Arrest the president. You got the evidence.
And now, segment five. For this week's Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 27th of January, 2020. And this is a brief report and commentary on the Trump impeachment trial. Now, I have watched the entire Trump impeachment trial, except for the 2 hours from this last Saturday, which I have not seen yet, but will. And that constitutes a lot of time spent watching television and taking notes. So I've listened and watched to almost the entire impeachment trial. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and now today. So that is in excess of 30 hours of television.
God help you.
And one of the things I wanted to note was that on Wednesday, we had the opening statements. And in the afternoon on Wednesday, Pat Cipollone, the Trump defense team lawyer, and White House counsel, he got up in front of the entire United States Senate, because all 100 senators are there, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, is sitting right behind him, and lied to the American people and to the senators and to John Roberts, making patently false statements. And I think this is for two reasons. Number one, it was for an audience of one, as it's often called now. And that was Donald Trump. And number two, so they could create false sound bites that they could use on Fox News to reinforce their views. This is propaganda. False statements should not be allowed in that kind of a setting. And now they're going to be used to undermine the rule of law in this country and to propagandize viewers. So it's been heavily criticized, and I criticize it as well. The House impeachment managers were uniformly good, and Representative Adam Schiff was excellent, and that's why he's being so heavily criticized. And it was interesting to listen to the Trump defense team today, although I cannot agree with their arguments. That is the way it goes. TK Weeks, your final comments for this Spectrum 360.
Whatever Joe Biden did or did not do, none of it is relevant to the issue of what Trump did, whether he did, in fact, try to solicit help in an election from Ukraine. No relevance whatsoever. Just your friendly reminder here. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yes, and that is correct. It's irrelevant, and they're trying to make the Trump impeachment trial into the Joe and Hunter Biden trial.
That's totally separate.
And that's it. That completes this week's Spectrum 360. Come back for more Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.